Mr. Paul Gulis was there at the time. We enlightened him on several problems, and we really got no response from it, sir.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that at our next meeting we ask Mr. Paul Gulis to meet before the commission, the committee here, so that we may explore students and the financial responsibility. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for that. We'll follow through.
Very well, sir.
Thank you. We're running close to floor time. Have we got Mr. Huber? Would you have some initial comments? And then I think Mr. Kleinbaum from Ketchikan also has perhaps some, if we have time.
Yes, this is Morris Kieber in Fairbanks. I have remained here and made myself available in the event that there were any further questions that needed to be answered. As to what Mr. Smith just addressed, we also had Mr. Gulis at our meeting in June and February. At that time, I asked if post-secondary education could make available to the Department of Commerce a computerized list of student loan recipients. This would certainly not be public information, but only between two state agencies. I feel that if the Department of Commerce would maintain them, it could be a coded record. It could be cross-referenced from the time the loan is given to the student permit that is issued, and then they must make application to come back and take the exam. The state, I believe, gain an awful lot of valuable information as to the value of the loan program. This could go on and on forever. Does the person stay within the field? I think this should be something of primary concern. Do they come back in 2 years and ask for another license? I believe the entire program could be evaluated like this with no real great expense to the state, but simply the cooperation between the two agencies. I don't believe that would require a great deal of more work. I do feel one other thing in relationship to the loan program and this particular field. We have a tremendous number of people who have gone to school with really no intent of ever going to work. I believe the figure was given at about 350 to 400 unemployed cosmetologists within the Anchorage area alone. I wonder if, and I'm just suggesting here, if post-secondary or somewhere along the line, when an individual makes application for a loan, if they could be advised, simply not denied a loan, but simply advised as to how many jobs are out there that are available. I don't really see any sense in putting a whole lot of money into a person who cannot come out or go out and become productive. If there's any other questions, there's been so much ground covered today that I think I could spend a week down there and we'd still be talking. But if there is any questions, I think I can answer just about anything that may come up.
Okay, we appreciate it. We're getting really time short here, and we have one more witness here in Juneau to testify. And then, Elmo, if you're standing by, if we have time, we can take your testimony. Would you like to come forward first and identify yourself, please, for the record and present your testimony?
My name is Troy Swarbrick.
Push the switch.
My name is Troy Swarbrick, S-W-O-F-F-O-R-E. And I've been a barber for 33 years in Alaska. In 4 years in Oregon, and I was one of the first board members. And I'll have to say we've come a long ways. And I'm happy with the board we got today. And I realize there've been a lot of mistakes made in the boards, but I know there've been mistakes made and a lot of the laws and legislation over the years I've seen those through the year. So I am happy with what's going on today. More than anything I would like to see today, I think, is more sanitation, sterilization and sanitation in the barber laws. I'm not happy with the layman part of it, because I don't feel that she knows what she's looking for when she walks in my barbershop. Because I was the only barbershop and Juneau got inspected, and she didn't even know what she was looking for. In the same way with the health department, they didn't know what they were looking for. They charged the lady across the lady, close to $500 next door, telling her plumbing had to be changed. They didn't even know what they was talking about. Didn't have any idea. That was a help fund. I'm not happy with that kind of thing. I'd like to see somebody that does have the knowledge to know what we need in the barbershop. And change the subject, but I'm very happy with what's going on with the barbers and the beauty operators today. Because they give me such a leeway that I can just do about anything I want to and get away with. Not that I'm trying it, but I'm a barber and a hairstylist. I can give a Tony or perm if I want to and get away with it. Nobody's checking me. The beauty operators can trim the beard, which I don't care. They cut the men's hair, I don't care. I'm not fighting with the beauty operators. I think one of these days we will be all combined. Oregon today has one license. You go to school, when you wind up out of school, you've got enough laws that you can do either one. You're a barber or a beautician, then you take your choice. And I think that's pretty well what we've got right here today. We've got an open field. I'm not concerned on what some beauty operator's doing. If she's, I don't think they want to shave or give flat tops. And I don't want to give perms. But I'll go within my reason. And I'm very happy with what's going on here.
Thank you. I'd like to, at this time, if the other committee members want to go to the floor. You can do that. I have one more witness, and you guys need prayer. I can skip the prayer.
I don't know.
We appreciate everybody later, sticking with us anyway. I have Mr. Kleinbaum in Ketchikan. You have some additional comments?
Yes, I do. I was listening to Mr. Trigger on the Department of Commerce.
Yes, go ahead.
And we have not got one lick of information from the Department of Commerce. And we need that. We need that. The shop owners need it, and the board members need it. They just leave us out, especially down here. I don't know about the rest of the place, but the Department of Commerce has got to work with the rest of the people. Now, when I was on the board, man, we'd send information up to the Department of Commerce, and it'd take three and so much before we'd get the information back. And this is what the real problem is, I think, is the Department of Commerce is trying to push a lot of the blame on the boards when it's in their departments it's fouling up. And that the board members get the blame on it. I think we should make this really clear that the Department of Commerce should be audited as well as the boards. And get this department straightened around a little bit.
Yes, we have Harry Trigger here. I'm sure he's got all the responses here for you. Harry, would you care to comment?
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would say is that I did send the notices out to all the licensees that we have listed on our computer, including Elmo. We are subject to a legislative audit also. And I can document what the legislative audit says and what I have done in regards to the board. And until the last board meeting, it's the first time I've ever heard from Elmo in Ketchikan.
Okay, well, we hope that our communications will be improved in the future. There's been some lag in it anyway. So we're running Dennis Milhouse in Anchorage, he has some comments, and we're running a little over here, and if we keep them concise, we'd appreciate it. Dennis?
Thank you, Chairman Calgary. This was just brought up in reference to the Alaska student loan. I've written several letters to Joe Joseph and Terry Martin on how to upgrade and approve the collection of their loans. We do have I don't think it's a severe problem, but there is a problem of students getting the money and then dropping out or not even coming back to school. They don't even bother to withdraw. I wrote the recommendation, who he sent to Kerry Romberg, I believe his name is, Romsberg, And we have on our own initiated a withdrawal dropout form that we do send directly to the post-secondary as soon as a student becomes a no-show or apparently they're not coming back. We feel that $6,000 is not enough money for a student to complete 1 year of education because it's 2,000 hours of education. It's 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, just as a full-time job. It is a vocation. I heard that there was 300 or 400 people that were out of work and couldn't work here, and I believe that to be untrue. I right now have over 40 positions that we could fill, and we only have 12 students graduating. We have a job placement program, and we cannot even begin to fill it. And there's hairdressers do not use the unemployment office. They go on personal interviews, and I don't really know how anybody could grab figures out of the air like that because I know of no hairdresser that goes through the unemployment office looking for employment. They go out on a personal basis for interviews, and like we can't even begin to fill what the requests are here in Anchorage. The student fund program really needs to be turned around, and I've written several letters, not to you, you're my representative. I basically, just by the interest in watching the paper of Terry Martin and Joe Josephs and wanting to cut it out, I wrote letters to them in regards to just very simple business tactics and to start collecting the money and to send a withdrawal default form with the check so that the student knows that if she drops out, that form is filled out and sent directly back and they'll start the collection procedures immediately. What happens now is, from my understanding from Paul Zayas, is that if a student drops out of school and a year later, it's exactly 1 year when she gets her check, that the post-secretary even asks where she's at. Sometimes they've gotten married, left the state or whatever. Then they go after them to collect the money. But all the student has to do then, I'm told, is to enroll in a apprentice program or anything to get back into the deal to defer payment. We feel this is totally contrary to getting the loan. In the promissory note, it says if you have to keep a grade point average and you have to keep a certain attendance record. And I think all they need to do is enforce that or just back up the law they already have instead of letting them slide. Because when one gets away with it, it's like wildfire. Everybody knows that they're easy. And that's about all I have on that. I have several letters. I will write you letters and send you what I have so far on it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. I appreciate your coming down. And just on a personal note, is your mother named Doris?
Yes, it is.
Well, tell her hi. I used to work with her at the old Alaska Dairy.
Yeah, I know. She told me.
Okay. We appreciate you helping us out here, and all the correspondence that you could send down to the committee would be appreciated, and we will... It's our intention to extend this board, and we will be drafting legislation to address some of the issues that's been discussed here, and we appreciate all the people coming out this morning. It's on the network, and at this time, we're running a little late, and we're going to adjourn, and we appreciate it again, and we hope that you'll be contacting us on by letter with your concerns. At this time, we're going to adjourn.